Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you learn and grow along the way. My special guest today is Whitney Loker. With over 100 design credits and a host of new shows in production, Whitney Loker has become the costume designer of choice for many of the theater world's most innovative productions. From regional theater to off-Broadway, she specializes in designing and creating costumes for theater and opera. Her recent off-Broadway credits include Into the Woods, The Two Gentlemen of Verona, For the Last Time, and Measure for Measure, and that's just to name a few. Whitney has served as the associate costume designer for the 66th Annual Tony Awards and is the resident costume designer for Fiasco Theater, Partial Comfort Productions, and she's a member of the United Scenic Artists. Whitney is based in New York, and she is with us today. So, Whitney, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, great. And I am too. And it's so interesting what you're doing. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get into theater costume design? And now you're off Broadway.
Right. Well, I never thought I would actually be a costume designer. I went to undergrad for electronic media production, so I really thought I was going to be a news anchor instead. And this was after I was a horse trainer for a while. So costume design didn't really seem like it was something I was ever going to do. But I could draw, and I'd been in lots of art classes as a kid. My parents really supported that. And when I went to undergrad at Ashland University in Ohio, I had a theater minor because I was still interested in acting. And I had to take a couple of design classes to fulfill my minor. And one of those was costume design. And as soon as my professors saw that I could draw, they really just kind of latched onto that. And they were like, well, you should really be a costume designer. And I thought, oh, no, but I really want to be an actor or a newscaster or something. And so that's kind of how I ended up as a costume designer. I kind of took that and took my experience acting. And since costume design is all about portraying character and telling a story with the clothes, I'm now able to play all of the characters all the time.
That is wonderful. So you really did have a passion for drawing, and it just kind of came out along the way. And it's so great that somebody recognized that and really said, hey, Whitney, you should pursue this. So what does costume design look like with respect to the field and maybe the men versus the women? You know, how do you see the numbers changing or will they change?
Oh, you mean as far as who's designing what, like on Broadway and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's been a lot of research done lately on who's actually designing and who's designing the big shows. Because on Broadway, I think there's only like 5 designers really working at any given point in time who just do all of those shows until somebody else comes along or they die.
and someone fills their spot.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody steps in. And it's interesting. Over the years, it kind of switches off. I feel like the women really dominated costume design on Broadway in the 80s, and now there's kind of a shift where the men are dominating. And recently, I was having this discussion with somebody, and they think it's because of who ends up being the assistants. When women are designing, they tend to hire gay male assistants who then take over and design, and they hire female assistants who then take over and design. So it's very interesting. So I guess we're due for another shift now in women designing on Broadway.
That is really interesting.
So it is really interesting. It really is. You might see a shift every 10 years and just keeps going back and forth. So as a woman costume designer, what would you say, you know, is your greatest success or your greatest successes?
Well, right now, I mean, I don't know if it means, you know, like success because I'm a woman or not, but I feel like, you know, I had this really great show, Into the Woods, that played at the Laura Pels Theater off-Broadway for a long time. And I feel that was a big accomplishment for me because not only was I the only woman on the design team, and the design team consists of a set designer, a lighting designer, and a sound designer, but I was also the only non-Tony Award-winning designer on that team. So
oh my.
I felt like they were in good company. So was I.
That's so true. So was that intimidating at all for you, or did you have to be more outspoken because you were the only woman and the only non-Tony? How did that feel?
It was a little scary at first, I have to say, but at the same time, I really embraced the opportunity because I'd worked with some of these designers already on the same production that had been other places regionally leading up to the big New York run, but they kept adding more and more very accomplished designers to the team, and I really embraced it because I thought, well, here's a chance to make some more friends and to really pick their brains about their careers because they've all been in
Excellent.
The game longer than I have. And I felt like they were all very supportive of me and really like my work. And I, of course, am a huge fan of their work as well. So I think that I turned something that was kind of an intimidating proposition into something that really, really worked out. And now I have some really great new friends.
Oh, that's excellent. I mean, what a positive learning experience. Do you typically work with a team of designers? Is there ever a time when you are the sole costume designer for a production, or is it always a group of people?
Well, that I'm always, you know, there's always one designer per production, like one costume designer, unless, you know, it's a co-design. But generally, on a production, you have the set designer, the costume designer, the lighting designer, and the sound designer. And going off of costumes, sometimes if you're lucky, there's also a wig designer and the makeup designer who all kind of fall under the costume designer's vision, you know, and bring their own ideas to it. But those are the main designers on any team. So yeah. I'm always the only costume designer on my team. And it's kind of interesting in that way, too, because I'm the only costume designer and then the other costume designer is the only one on their team, we generally don't hang out. So I don't have a lot of costume designer friends.
But a lot of wig design friends and maybe set design friends.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Exactly.
Well, it sounds like a whole bunch of creative people. I can only imagine the creativity and the synergy that comes out of that. That is really cool.
So yeah, and the production depends on it.
Oh,
no, the production depends on us having, you know, this creative synergy and the ability to collaborate and get along. And it's not always about, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. You're so awesome. You know, it's about challenging each other, too, or saying, well, what about this or what about this? And how can I help you make this better? And, oh, my gosh, this color is so great. So yeah, it's about really having a great collaboration.
Excellent. Sounds like teamwork, and we all have to learn to work in teams. What? Maybe talk a little bit about biggest challenges in your career, if you could name a couple.
Well, to be quite frank, I didn't go to NYU or Yale, and that has been a challenge for me. there are certain grad programs, and believe me, I could have gone, you know, had I decided to, but I really loved the mentor who I worked with at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and I wouldn't change my decision for where I got my education for the world. I think I got a fabulous education. But it's interesting, once you get to New York, these other graduate programs have such expansive networks, and so I just didn't go to one of those schools. So for me, it's always been challenging from the get-go as far as like everything I've built for myself career-wise in New York, I've done it on my own without relying on other people to help me.
Oh, Wow, that is quite a challenge. Yeah, I came into the industry knowing that it was kind of going to be an uphill battle for me, but I really embraced it. And it's because I feel confident in that I know what I'm doing and I know I'm talented. So that from the get-go was a big challenge. And as far as other challenges go, I think that my youth, has presented a challenge as well. You know, when we were talking in the pre-interview, I was telling you about the Young Master Award that is awarded at the Irene Sheriffs every year. And the Irene Sheriffs are awards for costume designers, specifically in artisans. So you have your Lifetime Achievement Award, your Young Master Award for an up-and-coming designer. And I thought the first year I moved to New York when I was 25, I thought, oh my gosh, this is so great. One day I think I can be a young master. It turns out the young master that year was in their 40s.
Not as young as you would think.
Right, not as quite as young of a master nonetheless. But
exactly. It's very, very interesting. And, you know, age playing a part, but your confidence, really, I just want to mention, speaks for itself and how much you embrace everything. And that's a characteristic that is so important, I think, in any field. But if you had to name characteristics of a successful costume designer, what would that be?
I think that a successful costume designer needs to be very collaborative. I think that a successful costume designer also needs to be sensitive. And I'm not saying like emotionally sensitive as in, you know, you get your feelings hurt easily, but sensitive to actors in particular, because aside from the director, the costume designer has the most interaction with the actors. And if the actors are feeling insecure about anything that's going on in the rehearsal room, or if they don't like the director, or if the director, you know, and the stage management are not getting along, the it tends to fall on the actors. So I get the brunt of that. So whatever is going on with them psychologically, they tend to take it out on the costume designer. So a lot of it is, you know, if the actors are feeling insecure, it's probably because they feel as though they're not being heard. So a lot of what I do is listen and let them feel like they're contributing something to the process. Because I feel like a lot of times actors get cast, and at this point the set is designed, the costumes are designed, and on the first day of rehearsal, we sit the actors in and we're like, okay, this is what we're plugging you into right now. And they don't ever have a say in that. So already they feel like they don't have any control of the situation. But I feel it's like my job to make them feel like they have a part in the process and they can contribute.
Well, that probably makes them feel a lot more comfortable. I'm talking with my special guest, Whitney Loker, costume designer from regional to off-Broadway productions. In the next segment, Whitney will share her thoughts on what it takes to achieve success in the theater world.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where costume designer Whitney Loker and I were just chatting about the highs and lows of costume design and the characteristics that make you successful. So, Whitney, everything that you've told us so far is really interesting, and I love that you pointed out the sensitivity to the actors. Being that you've done so many productions and been with actors, what is your favorite theatrical production? and why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of favorites, but I think my favorite is Into the Woods, and that's the one I mentioned earlier with all the Tony Award-winning designers I work with. I think that I am most proud of that production because not only has it been one of my most successful shows, but it has a really great story behind it. We first presented it, I think it was 3 years ago now, at the MacArthur Theater in Princeton, New Jersey. And, you know, as far as the process goes, you know, as a costume designer, you, like I talked about before, you design the costumes, you have them made, you do the fittings, and then you put them on stage. And you put them on stage, and it's called the tech rehearsal, where all of the design elements are seen together for the first time. And that lasts for a few days before previews begin, and then the show opens. So during the tech process of this Into the Woods, I kept thinking, oh man, the costumes don't seem to be gelling with the rest of the design. What happened? What changed? And the company, Fiasco Theater, who's fantastic, they're very actor-driven, and they very much changed their concept from what we had originally talked about. And what happened in the rehearsal room was something that was completely different. So once the clothes got on the actors, they didn't seem to make sense anymore. And I thought, oh my God, I got to fix this. You know, like I know that this is like really, you know, counterintuitive to the regional theater model of doing things, you know, it's like the costume should be done. We should be on our way. And I the last day of tech, I sat there and I drew sketches of all new costumes for the show. And at the end of the day, which was about midnight, I had the whole crew around me, and I said, you know what? I said, I think I'm going to redesign the show. And
so, oh my goodness. What kind of feedback did you get from that? Were they shocked? Did they say, Whitney, no, you can't. How did that go over?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I'd already been talking to the costume shop manager about it. We'd already been kind of talking about like, you know, this doesn't work, or what if I just did this, or what if I redesigned the show, and that they would be on board with it, because of course I can't do it by myself. You know, I have a whole costume shop of people who also have to be willing to put in the extra time to make this happen after they've already made beautiful, beautiful garments, and to just like, you know, scrap them and be like, nope, we're not using these anymore.
Goodness.
You know, people also get very attached to certain garments that they build and stuff, and they love seeing them on stage. So, you know, and also actors get very attached to certain garments that they're wearing. And So within 12 hours, I redesigned the show, refit all the costumes, you know, dealt with, you know, all the repercussions of that. Certain actors, you know, certainly didn't want to lose what they had because they liked it so much. And for the first preview, I put a whole new show on stage.
Oh my goodness. That is just an incredible task. In 12 hours, it was all done.
In 12 hours, yes.
That is amazing.
And the artistic director was incredibly happy, and you know, and then the shop was also happy. I felt very supported because I was very supportive of them, you know, meaning that before everything changed, like I had gotten all my fabric to them on time. I had been available to them as much as they needed me, you know, so because I was so, I guess, easy to work with for them, they came back and were very easy to work with for me. And I feel like I led us to victory. I also didn't sleep for 3 days because I was on such an adrenaline high.
I was just going to say your sleep must have suffered, but what an eye, and you know, your expertise to be able to tell that something just isn't right, and to know that you're taking a risk right there, but it worked out, and that says success. And that's actually my next question. You know, what does it take to reach true success in the theater world, if you could impart some advice?
Yeah, and I think that's a good question. I think that everybody defines success differently in the theater world, because I mean, you don't have to be working in New York or on Broadway to achieve a level of success in the theater. You know, you can work at a regional theater anywhere in the country and have tremendous success. You can teach and be successful in the theater. So it all depends on how you define success. For me, my idea of success has shifted dramatically. I mean, I've been in New York for 10 years, and I came to New York thinking, okay, I'm going to give myself 10 years, and in 10 years, I'm going to have my first Broadway show. Well, that didn't happen. And along the way, I've been reevaluating, do I even want that? You know, does commercial theater interest me? And the answer is no, actually it doesn't. I don't feel the need to rehash Fiddler on the Roof or, you know, Guys and Dolls or Cinderella. Those have already been done so many times in so many ways, like from lots of different points of view. I am interested in creating new theater. That's actually what I've realized over the years that I am interested in. And if something I've created gets picked up and transfers to Broadway, that's fantastic. It means I will have built a new Broadway show as opposed to just rehashing something that's been around already. So to me, my definition of success is creating new theater, new work.
Oh, that is wonderful. And you're right, success can change as you grow and probably learn more about yourself in mm-hmm. your career. And as you're growing and learning, how important, you mentioned the networking before. So mm-hmm. how important is networking, and in what ways are you networking to advance in your career? What do you do?
Yeah, networking is super important. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, like, you know, Yale and NYU have their very solid networks that they're involved in. My networks are very much directors, because directors are what keep designers working. You know, very, very rarely do I get a job offer from somebody who I don't know, who I've never worked with or never met. That just doesn't happen. So the way I network is that I aggressively pursue directors.
Yeah,
and
that's so smart.
And now I have an agent, so this really helps as well, who I can go to and say, hey, I really want to connect with this person. I want to meet this person. I found that there are certain directors whose work I admire, who are in kind of the same age range as me, in the same kind of, you know, like level of experience, who I want to meet. So I know a lot of designers, a lot of artists in general, I feel they don't feel like they have the freedom to just connect with somebody out of the blue. I don't know if they're afraid. I don't know. I mean, the worst somebody can say is, no, I don't want to meet you, you know. But I find that if I can get myself in front of somebody over coffee or drinks or something, I can usually get work out of them, you know, if we click. So that's what I do. I email them and I say, hey, let's meet up on this day. And then if they're not available that day, they come back to me with another time that they can meet. And so that's how I do. I just always say, like, I'm always hustling. You got to keep up the hustle.
Yes, you have to hustle. Hey, do you ever use social media to meet anybody in the theater world, especially these directors who are your influencers in a sense?
Yeah, I do. I kind of hit them up, you know. I friend request them on Facebook, or I follow them on Twitter. I'm actually the worst at Twitter. I still haven't figured Twitter out.
Well, we'll have to talk offline sometime, because I love Twitter.
So yeah, I can
definitely help you there.
Okay, good. Well, because I need it.
Yeah. So I'm starting to think that, you know, no matter what industry you're in, social media will definitely lend a hand. So what mm-hmm. advice would you give to other professionals who are really serious and want to pursue a career in theater?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that you really have to want it. You know, I don't think that theater is something that you can go into and just think that, oh, well, that'll be fun. You know, it's fun, but it is a lot of hard work. And you know, you get to have fun maybe once in a while, but, you know, It's like one of those things, like people think of theater as a hobby, you know, or it's like, well, what else do you do? What do you do for a real job? Well, you know, this is my real job. You have to think right. of theater as kind of like you're pursuing not only a career, but it's also a lifestyle. You know, you have to be ready to be poor. You're probably going to be poor for a very long time.
Right. Yeah, it's almost the starving artist. But once you start getting into your career and making your connections, it really seems that you will, if you're recognized, you're used over and over again. And once a director, mm-hmm. I'm sure, trusts you and likes working with mm-hmm. you, you move from starving costume designer to one who's probably doing really well. Is there anything that, you know, if you could go back and say something maybe to yourself, advice that you, something you've learned now, but you could give advice mm-hmm. to your younger self, what would that be?
I mean, I thought about this question a lot when I initially read it, because I try not to have any regrets or anything. I think that what I would probably tell my younger self is that you know, this career is the long game. You know, there's no shortcut to success in theater, especially in costume design, especially in New York. You know, I think that my younger self was a little bit more cocky and like, oh, I'm going to come to New York and take it by storm, and who wouldn't want to hire me? And it just takes a long time to establish yourself. It just does. And everybody's path is different to, you know, achieving the level of success that you're setting out to achieve.
It is so true. So it's almost no regrets, and you're in it for the long haul, and keep mm-hmm. that passion going, which mm-hmm. you certainly do. So tell us, here's one last question. How can my listeners find out more about you and your work?
Yes, you can go to my website at whitneyloker.com and see pictures of my shows. My resume is up there, and if I'm good enough at it, I'll keep my website updated with what I've currently got going on. Sometimes I fall a little bit behind, but my next show is coming up in New Haven, Connecticut, and it's a production of Measure for Measure with Fiasco Theater, and it'll be presented at the Long Wharf Theater opening December 2nd.
Oh my goodness, that is so exciting. And are you already working on everything now, or, you know,
oh yeah,
how far along
yeah,
are you
definitely.
In the process?
Oh yeah, let's hope I don't have to redesign it at the last second.
Yes. How did you know I was going to say that? Yes. You'll have 12 hours to redesign everything.
Right.
You read my mind.
Well, fortunately, this is a remount of a show that already existed last season at the New Victory Theater. It's another production with Fiasco. And right now, for this remount, I'm only redesigning one costume. So we'll see if it still stays at one by the time the second previews roll around.
That's too funny. Well, you'll have to let us know.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your creativity, your work. You're such an inspiration in the field of costume design.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I've had a great time today.
That was such a pleasure. And I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. And until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.